Morning. Welcome to Men's Roundtable. Glad you're here. We're continuing in the series of wisdom, studying in the book of Proverbs. Seven deadly sins. Did you start with anger because it starts with an A?
We're just going to work our way through the alphabet.
Still, and I both think you're picking on us.
Yeah, well, do you know the other six?
No, this is good enough for me. I don't need to know the other six.
That's right. That's right.
That one works. Well,
I've got slides of your whole life up here for this week. So I'm going to see it. Joe's life.
Woo.
Journey of anger.
No wonder you have a lot to share. Yeah. No wonder. Anger. Man, it has been a part of my story for years. For years. Anger. Do you have an issue with that? Mine is from fear. Fear of the unknown. I just respond in anger. Not a healthy way of doing that at all. Not a healthy way at all. Many hours of counseling, many hours of sitting with other men, time at deer camp, time in community, I began to see that it wasn't really fear of an unknown. It was fear of not knowing God, putting him in my heart, surrendering to him. Mm-hmm. And then you find peace. That's my part for the day. Deer camp is this weekend. A couple spots still open. Look on the handout, the QR code there. You shoot it with your phone, registration. If you're an alumni and you want to attend, please do sign up just so that they know how many meals to prepare. Ricky appreciates that when extra 10 or 15 guys show up and food is short, he may not pass a plate to you. But it'd be nice to know if you're coming. It'd be nice to know. Yeah, well, Ricky's not in a good mood most of the time. So I wouldn't run the risk of thinking he might be in a good mood because he's usually not in a good mood. Don't run that risk. Let me open us with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of gathering here. Lord, I thank you for ceasefire. I thank you for the breakfast that's provided. Thank you for the coffee. Lord, more than anything, I thank you for the men that are here. They come seeking you, following some hippie from Tennessee.
Amen.
Through his hippie Bible, has a way of just bringing you to life. Thank you so much for Phil. Thank you for your work on the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joe. Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I want to mention two things before we kind of get started this morning. One is we need to pray for our brother Jeff Cook. Jeff Stout is pinch hitting for Jeff Cook this morning. Jeff's our number one IT guy. Jeff Stout is our number two IT guy, and Jeff unexpectedly, of course, take his dad to the hospital this morning, and they're at the hospital right now taking care of dad. So please, even as I say this, pray in your heart for Jeff Cook's dad, that goes well. So, and I'll keep you posted on that. The other thing, I want to draw your attention to Lion Makers Monday night group. I mentioned this last week. And if you don't have a flyer in front of you, hold up your hand and Tony back here will get you a flyer. I want everybody to have a flyer. And this is a weekly coaching group that I'm starting Monday, the 22nd. So this Monday, 5:45 to 7 every Monday night. And the way this will work, it'll be a Zoom group, and the QR code is here. You just hover over the QR code with your phone, go to the registration page from your QR code. You register, and then when you register, you will be sent the Zoom link, and you'll be good to go. So you just log in 5:45 Monday night. And I will begin each week with a 5-minute, 3 to 5 minute coaching piece that'll kind of get us started. then I'll invite you to journal, much like what we do here. Just write it down. So show up with your Bible and your journal, just like what I hope you do here. We'll do a little journaling, self-reflection, and then we'll just open it up, and it'll be a sharing, a Q&A time. I'm available. I'll be as much help as I know how to be to you, but you cooperatively will be the substance of our time together. It'll be a coaching group, so it'll be more interactive on Zoom, and Jeff Cook will be riding shotgun with me to help me with my IT handicap. I have an IT handicap. They've not given me a handicap spot yet, but I'm looking for that IT handicap. But I'm excited about Lion Makers group every Monday night. So hope you'll take advantage of that. For those of you who can't be in a group, I hope you're already in a group, and that's the way that's the way we believe life is lived best, is living in community, being with other brothers. And so we're going to supply that, facilitate that through technology at this point. All right. So we begin. Wisdom for the journey. And as we continue through the book of Proverbs, we're looking at one of the seven deadly sins. And as Joe mentioned, we're starting with anger. And I'm so mad about it, I don't know what to say. No, I'm excited about it, guys. Most of us, when we start to get honest with ourselves, as I began to understand my story, I had to wrestle with anger. I would have never in a million years thought that I had an anger problem. But if you've read my book, Lions Are Born to Roar, I tell the story of being in a counseling session with Dan, my counselor. I'm about 20 minutes into my monologue trying to convince him of how depressed I am. And I've been wrestling with depression, and I'm depressed. And Dan stops me mid-sentence. Such a rude counselor. Some of these counselors can be so rude. He actually had the audacity, Roger, can you believe that? To stop me in my monologue. And he said to me, and I write about this in the book, he said, "Man, you are really angry." And I didn't have the courage to say anything. He just stopped me. But on the inside, I was thinking, if this guy calls me angry one more time, I'm going to beat the crap out of him. Because I'm not mad. I'm depressed. What a stupid counselor this guy is. And so that kind of began my journey. So we're going to look at anger. And again, anger is amoral. It's neither good nor bad in and of itself. And that's what makes it a little bit perplexing. You cannot grow without being angry. I mean, a infant gets angry and stubborn. And nobody teaches an infant to say, no. You know, say daddy, daddy, say mommy. Nobody goes, say no. No, all of a sudden, somehow the baby just goes, no, no. And that is the beginning of healthy development. Angry enough to start to define who you are. What you say no to is far more important than what you say yes to. Yes is like spill milk. It'll just go any place. You can say yes to everything. But until you get your no button working, which is part of healthy anger, and start setting boundaries around your life in order to keep the good stuff in and the bad stuff out, you're in trouble. So I'm going to show you some video. We're going to talk about good anger and bad anger this morning. So I want to start out with our good gospel singer, Toby Keith. I love Toby Keith. He's dancing with Jesus and singing to the angels up there now. And this is a great song. I love this. And man, do we need to hear more of this? I believe. The song is courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, the Angry American. We need to be angry about unhealthy stuff. Toby Keith helps us to see that. So I hope through the video and the song, you'll be a little bit more in touch with what healthy anger looks like. And the words of the song are there on the back of your notes. May you hear the voice of God and may you open our hearts to what he has for us this morning. Toby Keith.
American girls, American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize.
Get the sound up just a little bit, Jeff.
There's a lot of men there, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right hand. I'm gonna keep on flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live back in the land of the free. Now this big man of love that's fallen under attack, he might have suffered punch, came flying in from somewhere in the back. As soon as we could see through to our big black eye, and we let a beer work like the 4th of July. I brought cancer to see of the red light. And this will be served on the battle we'll raise. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. You'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. We'll put up the flag in your ass and say a better team way. Put your name at the top of his list and the statue of the liberty stone is shaking a fist and the eagle. And it's gonna be there when you get my friends done. In the world, it'll be like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I'm seeing your courtesy of the red wife. Of the red wife.
Amen, amen, amen. Healthy, appropriate anger. It makes me think of Romans 12:9. Romans 12:9. Love what is good. Hate what is evil, or it actually starts out, abhor evil, love what is good. Let love be without hypocrisy. Gentlemen, we have got to hate evil. That's the godly way, the American way. And when America ceases to be good, we're in trouble. We need to hate evil, not hate people, but hate evil. Healthy anger. Be on the alert. Stand firm in your faith. Act like men. Be strong. Words from 1 Corinthians 16:13. Follow with me as we read our introductory paragraph and we dig in. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. We need help to make decisions about work, all relationships, in speech and conduct, who to trust or avoid, along with being measured by the plumb line of true character. And again, this topic today is going to measure our character. How we handle anger is a reflection of our character. Wisdom from Proverbs offers insight into the concrete experiences of human life that help us take charge of our lives. Proverbs is about how to live out your faith in God. So, I truly trust that as we've been going through the series, you're learning more of how to live. How to live. There is no true wisdom apart from Jesus. Fools are those who rely on their own knowledge to navigate life. In other words, they won't receive feedback. They won't see themselves through another. In this study, we will look and listen to hear God's voice and see his son shining through the book of Proverbs. We will be equipped in every way for our journey. So this morning, again, we look at anger. So I want you to pick up your pen and let's do some journaling. Let's engage. Let's don't be passive. Let's really engage. So question number one, what relationships are you aware of that was damaged by anger? What comes to your mind when you reflect on your life, the journey of your life, and you see the poison of unhealthy anger either coming at you or you spewing out? It may be anger that came to you through a relationship with your dad, through the loss of an important someone that you couldn't handle it any other way than to be mad about it. Or it may be anger in your own life that you've damaged your relationship with your wife. You've damaged your relationship with your son or daughter or a friend, and you ruined that relationship because of your poisonous anger. What comes to your mind? A relationship that was damaged by anger. Just to help you kind of reflect on that, I came across this story from my good friend, Robert Morgan. I wish Bob, I hope Bob Waller is watching. Bob's got, has a help. Is it Bob? This is for you, our mutual friend, Robert Morgan. But Robert tells this story in one of his books. Reverend Walter Everett answered the phone, unprepared for the words he heard. Scott was murdered last night. Walter's anger toward his son's killer raged through him like a violent riptide, growing even worse when a plea bargain resulted in a reduced sentence for the attacker. Now, who in this room would not feel exactly the way Reverend Everett felt? His son is killed, and there's leniency on the killer. He writes, "My rage was affecting my entire life. How am I going to let go of this anger?" I wondered. The answer came the first time I saw Mike, almost a year after Scott's death. Mike stood in court prior to his sentencing and said he was truly sorry for what he had done. Empty words. I'm sorry. How would you feel if it was your son or daughter? 3.5 weeks later, on the first anniversary of Scott's death, I wrote to Mike. I told him about my anger and asked some pointed questions, and then I wrote, "Having said all that, I want to thank you for what you said in court. And as hard as these words are for me to write, I forgive you. I wrote of God's love in Christ and invited Mike to write to me if he wished. 3 weeks later, his letter arrived. He said that when he had read my letter, he couldn't believe it. No one had ever said to him, 'I forgive you.' That night, he had knelt beside his bed. and prayed for and received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Additional correspondence led to regular visits during which we spoke often of Mike's and my growing relationship with Christ. Later, I spoke on Mike's behalf before a parole board, and he was given an early release. And in November 1994, I was the officiating minister at his wedding. When asked about his early release, Mike says, "It felt good, but I was already out of prison. God had set me free when I asked for his forgiveness." Wow. I'm angry. I'm mad. I forgive you. Easiest path to take is anger. Easy to be angry. But how many of us can bow the knee and say to one who has wronged us, harmed us, disrespected us, offended us, to say, "I forgive you"? Just stay angry. Just be angry. Anger is like drinking poison, hoping that the other person dies. Right? Heard that, Bob? You know? No. Question number one. Question number two. What consequences have you experienced due to anger? What consequences have you experienced due to anger? A broken relationship? You know? Health issues? I'm telling you, negative anger, poisonous anger, will affect your health. What consequences? And then question number three, when was the last time you had an argument? And basically, how did you handle that? You know, you have an argument, there's usually anger involved, and somebody gets angry, and then you just get angry back. Now you got two angry kids in a sandbox fighting over a Tonka toy, and eventually somebody gets hit in the head with the Tonka toy, Tonka truck, right? That's the way it works, you know? When a child shows up, there's got to be adult supervision. But when two children are in a sandbox, it's not pretty. And that's typically two angry people, husband and wife, two men, two brothers, two sisters, all of that sort of thing. A book that I have used in my counseling practice for years, helping men and women deal with anger, is a book called The Dance of Anger by Harriet Lerner. So, Roger, you need to have this on your shelf. It's a great resource. And Harriet Lerner, of course, goes through, as a counselor would, kind of talking about anger and all that. But she uses as her case study Maggie. And so all through the book, as she's helping you understand good anger, bad anger, healthy anger, poisonous anger, she's working with Maggie as her case study. I want to read to you just three paragraphs that I often read three pages of this, but I'll just read three paragraphs, and it'll give you the idea of how Maggie begins to deal with her mother. The relationship that triggers Maggie is her relationship with her mother. And so Maggie's a new mother, and her mother comes to help her with the baby. So three paragraphs. Amy was almost a year and a half now. It was a hot Sunday afternoon, the second day of Maggie's mother's visit, and Bob was out playing tennis with his friends, as any good husband would do. You know, Bob's out playing tennis. Yeah, did you hear that wrong? You know, playing tennis. Got it. Maggie had just put Amy down for a nap, and she was crying in her crib. Only 5 minutes had passed when her mother suddenly jumped up from her chair, scooped Amy out of the crib, and said to Maggie, "I just can't stand to hear her cry. I'm going to rock her to sleep." anger welled up in Maggie, and for a moment, she felt like yelling at her mother. But she was now aware that fighting was a way of protecting both her mother and herself. Just do the same old thing you've always done. Just fight. And silence was the same. So now she's caught between fighting and silence. For both fighting and silence would ensure that Maggie would never declare her independence from her mother. And suddenly she simmered down because Mama had a way of hooking her in to fighting or just to be quiet and shutting her down. And at that point, Maggie was realizing Mama had control of me. With as much poise as Maggie could muster, she stood up, lifted Amy from her mother's arms, and placed her gently back in the crib. And then she turned to her mother and said, without anger or criticism in her voice, "Mom, let's go out on the porch. I really want to talk to you about something important to me." Now, I could read the next three pages. Very powerful. You can get the book, read that. But I want you to draw this little continuum, and then it'll help you understand what Maggie's working with. And I draw this in my office all the time. So we're going to break into a little bit of a counseling session here. So draw this, finding a little blank spot there on your notes. I love working with continuums. X marks the positive middle, and then you've got the two negative poles. And so what Maggie is beginning to understand is she's beginning to understand healthy anger, or simply the energy, the emotional energy that we need in order to face or confront in a controlled way that which comes our way. Be angry, Scripture says, but do not sin. Do not be a fool, to put it in Proverbs terms. So what Maggie's understanding is, on one negative pole, is to meet that energy with silence and just shut down and not talk. And dude, when I'm sitting with Counselor Dan at the Minnethmeyer Clinic with a hospital bracelet around my arm and doing 30 days of inpatient treatment in my own life, that's what I was dealing with. I just swallowed my anger, and nobody would have ever thought, oh, Phil Harden's not angry. Phil's the nicest guy around. That was my problem. I'm just a nice guy, and I was miserable. But I had a lot of passive aggressive anger. So like what we call this, flight, fight, everybody knows that in terms of defense. I was a flighter. I would just fly away. I would run away. I wouldn't face it. I wouldn't confront it. You could come up on my yard and steal my rocking chairs, and I wouldn't say anything to you. Oh, here, you missed one. You want the other rocking chair? I said nothing. I was silent. And people were running all over me, and I resented them. It was my problem. They didn't know. They thought the rocking chairs were free. And then the other part that Maggie is understanding is, again, over here on the other negative pole, is to fight. Because she knew, as she said, to either be silent or to fight is to stay in the old pattern. And so what you've got is that old reactive pattern. Ever been with somebody that they're just always reacting? They don't respond, they react. Ever felt like you're in a relationship and you're walking on eggshells with somebody? It's miserable. And of course, again, like what you've got over here is rage. Is rage. Man, short fuse. You step on that landmine, and it's off to the races we go. Arms every place, legs every place, blown up, all to bits. But the healthy anger that Scripture talks about is this middle ground, and as Maggie said to her mother, "Mom, there's something that I would like to talk about that's important to me." And she faces it, and she addresses it, and she handles it in a healthy way. Anger is neither good nor bad, but it is absolutely necessary. Be angry. Okay? So I want you to take a couple minutes, turn over to your buddy next to you, and talk about anger. How's it affected you? Good, bad, and ugly? Have you had some successes with anger? And I'm learning how to handle my anger. Or when Phil's up there talking, I keep thinking about my dad and in the journey that I have with my dad, whatever. So take a few minutes and get out loud about anger. Go. All right, let's continue on. Everybody mad? Everybody mad? I'm so mad I don't know what to say. So anger, you know, it's like a guy stood up in my office and hovered over my chair years ago, and he walks up to me, I said, "Man, you look angry." He says, "I'm not angry. I'm frustrated." Okay, call it what you want to, but you know, on this anger piece, you might want to look at a thesaurus and see the number of words that are synonyms for anger, you know, and frustrated is part of that. So beware. Seven deadly sins, and we're just looking at one of them. In the next few weeks, we will work our way through the seven deadly sins. But anger, what does your anger tell us about you? What does your anger tell us about you? Now, one of the things that you have to realize about anger is a secondary emotion. It's not even primary, because what anger tells us is that there's something deeper going on. Anger is like curtains on a stage. You're sitting out there in the auditorium with a ticket stub in your pocket. You paid $50 for the ticket. You didn't come to look at the curtain. You came, bought the ticket to listen, look at, watch what's behind the curtain. So anger tells us something about you. I had a couple in my office recently, and this person was very, very angry, and rightfully so. She had reason to be angry, and I got to poking around in her story, and that which had happened in the present would make anybody angry. But as I started asking her about her past, it became clear that she had been betrayed, that she had been hurt, that she had really been hurt in her past. And she thought it was an apple and an orange, and there was no connection. But as we talked about it, it was clear that her brain was telling her, this is like then. This is like then. That which is happening now is like what happened to you in the past. And so now she's having to do double work to overcome what has happened to her in the present because there's so much past that's happening. So anger is like a curtain. It can tell us so much about what's going on with you. But there is a great danger of anger to us. A wise man is patient with people, is able to see the circumstances, legitimate reasons that people misbehave. But man, when it's over here or over here on these two extremes, then anger will eat your lunch. Look at Proverbs 14:29 says, slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. A quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. Quick trigger, anger. You can't see it. It's like you get lost in the fog of your anger. You jump to conclusions. Quick-tempered. Look at 15:18. Hot tempers start fights. A calm, cool spirit keeps the peace. We call that a mature man. It causes greater conflict. Have you ever tried to solve conflict by getting angrier than the angry person coming at you? You know, the angry person yells at you and you just yell back. You know, you get louder. You get more chaotic. And then it's all resolved. Isn't that the way that works? Of course not. That's crazy. It causes greater conflict. Calm down. Be angry. But do not sin. Look at 29:11. A fool lets it all hang out. A sage quietly mulls it over. Hopefully, guys, when we're older, we can be in that sage category. Chris Bruno wrote a great book. I'm working my way through it, called Sage. It's about being at a season in your life when you're a little older and you should be wise. You should be a sage. In other words, you should be less angry. Somewhere along the line, you should have understood the story behind the curtain. Again, your anger's telling you a story. You know, listen to the story. The only way to resolve anger is much like what Reverend Everett did, and that is to understand the story behind the curtain, the anger, and either be sad and grieve it or forgive it. What do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? What loss have you experienced that you're so mad about? Again, as a counselor, if you're in my office and you're angry, I can have compassion on you because I'm not going home with you. So, you know, it's okay. I can love on you for about 45, 50 minutes, but I'm so glad I'm not married to you. I don't have to live with you. I'm not going home. I don't make house calls. I'm not going to do that. I once got offered a lot more money if I would come and have dinner with this guy in his home every Wednesday night. He offered me that he would pay me to have dinner in his house every Wednesday night. You know what I said? No. Now, that just shows how healthy I've got, because there was a time in my life. Yeah. What do we have? What time do I need to be there? Like a golden retriever looking for a dog biscuit. You know, no, I'm not coming to your house and watching your family be chaotic and fight. No, I'll help you for about 45 minutes in my office. I'm not going home with you. And then I love 29:22. Look at 29:22. Angry people stir up a lot of discord. The intemperate stir up trouble. You know, anger has been called the gateway drug in relationships. It just gets worse and worse. I want to recommend a movie to you. If you're dealing with anger on any level, if you're on the silent, passive aggressive, flight end of the negative, or if you're on the fight reactive, Antoine Fisher is a movie that we've used at Deer Camp and recommended in our counseling practice for years. I want to show you a clip. This is based on a true story. And Antoine Fisher is in the Navy. And when we meet him, he's just mad. He's fighting everybody. He's mad. He's fighting. They throw him in the brig and they tell Antoine, again, based on a true story, either we're going to throw you out of the Navy or you're going to go to counseling and get help. And so he decides to stay in the Navy and go get help. And Denzel Washington plays the therapist. I wish I was as smart as Denzel Washington. I wish I was as good a therapist as Denzel. Watch this. Antoine in the counselor's office.
So, Dr. Davenport, sent him to the gym, hit the punching bags. Ain't that what you prescribed? So why are you here? You feeling under pressure? You feel like a rock is on top of you? Come on now, speak the hell up. You better make it snappy. You only got 3 sessions coming. What are y'all looking at? What you looking at? You feeling sick? You need a healing? You need a healing? Do you need a healing? Huh? Do you need a healing? Some of y'all sick ass fellas need to come back after working hours. And that's when a good Dr. Davenport, he'll be laying his hands on you. Or he may have a book in there that may have the answers to all your problems and all your questions. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? You like Stephanie Mullins. Ooh. Oh, I'm finished. Thought I was just getting started. Then he's on the side of me and slipped your line. But you are addressing the security office and understanding me. Do you understand me? Yes, sir. I slipped him. You better believe you did. No, sorry, man. I slipped out when I talked to you. What? 3 sessions, right? That's correct. Can't be flouted, right? You know, that's correct. Well, what do I do, Commander? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Most powerful words and all that saying. I don't know what to do. How many of us in our anger will not say that. I don't know what to do. I need help. I need help. I need help. The poison lives in you. Gentlemen, I'm telling you, when you're dealing with anger, it's like the old adage, everywhere I go, there I am. Everywhere I go, there I am. The problem is not her. It's not him. It's not them. It's not they. The poison lives in you. And that anger inside of you is your own worst enemy. And that's what you've got to see. When I was doing my own work in my own counseling, I had a counselor say to me, not Dan, but another counselor. I've had a number of counselors that I've worked with in my own journey. And this counselor had the audacity to say to me, Carla is not your problem. But I was sitting there trying to convince the counselor how hard it was to be married to Carla. And my anger was because Carla wouldn't take care of me. She wouldn't be my mama. I didn't realize that at the time. I wanted her to be my mama because my mama just rescued me. My mama took care of me. Well, that little rattlesnake Texan that I married, she wasn't about taking care of me. Praise God. God knew what I needed. And I was so mad at this counselor. But what he was saying, he said, Carla is not your problem. The problem is inside of you. You've got cancer. You've got an anger problem. You're just mad. You're just a child. You're mad because you're not getting your way. Look at Proverbs 19:19. Now this, if you're going to remember one verse in our study this morning, and there's so much about studying anger, and we could do a whole series on anger, and maybe we need to do that sometime. But Proverbs 19:19 is the one verse that I would encourage you to hang your hat on in terms of anger. Don't forget this. Proverbs 19:19 simply says this: let angry people endure the backlash of their own anger. If you try to make it better, you'll only make it worse. Now, in your study Bible, it says something like this: if you try to rescue an angry person, you'll never cease having to rescue that angry person. It's like trying to fill up a bucket with a hole in it. You know, if you give to an angry person, if you don't set boundaries with that angry person and say, no, I'm not doing, if you keep giving to the angry person, you'll never cease having to give. You helped to create the very monster. And in my own work with my own anger, I had a counselor say to me, Phil, you're angry. Now, again, I was this quiet, nice, codependent coward over here. I wasn't, you know, shaking my fist and running around crazy. I was more like a deadly gas. I'd kill you and you wouldn't even know it. And then Carla stopped giving to that. Thank you. Don't give to an angry man. You'll never cease having to give. So here's the answer, and we'll close with this. Much like what Maggie taught us, Proverbs 15:1. Don't forget this. Proverbs 15:1. I love this. A gentle answer diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. In your study Bible, it reads something like this: a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, guys, let me qualify this. What's being said there is not being nice. It doesn't say, be nice. Be nice. No, it says speak into it. Much like what Maggie did. Speak, face, don't be silent, don't absorb that energy or it will run over you, and don't react to it. But a gentle answer a direct answer diffuses the anger. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 4 then gives us direction in how to handle this. And again, guys, you're not going to get better if you don't want to get better. The paradigm that we as men have got to work out of is a growth paradigm. I want to grow up. I really do want to be a man more than I want to be in control of everything around me. I want to be mature. I want to be the wise man. I want to be the sage. I want to be mature. And so that's what Ephesians says to us. Listen to this, verses 14 through 16. No prolonged infancies among us. Isn't that great language? No babies. No prolonged infancies. I know a lot of infants with gray hair. To say it. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods. Small children who are easy prey for predators. Immature guys running around, calling themselves men. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and tell it in love. Be angry, but do not sin. Be in control. Tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Guys, the first step in dealing with your anger is to acknowledge that you're angry. Hello, my name is Phil, and I'm angry. And all the angry men said, welcome, Phil. Glad you're here. Me too. Me too. We all are. But you cannot fix that which you will not acknowledge. I have a problem. We all do. And learning how to deal with that anger can be helped by The Dance of Anger by Harriet Lerner. It can be helped by watching Antoine Fisher. Great, great movie. It'll help you answer what's behind your anger. But most importantly is the gospel that allows us to say, as Reverend Everett said, I am angry because somebody took my son, took that which I valued. And I now have the power that I never thought that I could have, much more power than anger would ever give me. And that's the power to forgive how I've been wronged. Guys, if you're sitting here this morning and you're offended by somebody and you're stewing and you've been wronged and you've been mistreated, get over it. Forgive. Are you going to carry that poison in your soul to the day you die, hoping that that person that offended you gets sick? It don't work that way. The problem is in you. And Jesus has forgiven you. How about you forgiving those that have offended you? You'll live longer. You'll be a lot happier. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, your direction. Help us to be grown-up men, wise men, as you called us to be, and even given us the power to be. Thank you for our time this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.